You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah! How about that, Al? How good does it feel on a Friday morning to know that the Dodgers are going to play more baseball, more playoff baseball, that the Giants are out, that that sword that's been hanging over your head for 2+ months is gone, and that you can just kind of play it straight up from this point forward? It's very exciting.
I don't want to say, and you know, I'll be cautious with this one, you got through the toughest, in my opinion, the most challenging portion, you can't say of the playoffs, because if you play the Astros
they're
are
really
a squad
good.
That can you know,
really
win a World Series. But to get through that wild card and then get through a team like the San Francisco Giants in 5 games, the way you got through them, the way it's kind of no margin for error, you can sit here today and take a quick deep breath and say, okay, have a sigh of relief. Listen, the Atlanta Braves, I know you think this is going to be a good
series.
I genuinely don't think so. I think they got through what they need to get through. I think that actually that 2-3-2 format might play to their advantage. Go get a split in Atlanta. You come here, do some damage. I don't think this is going to be one of those series that you're going to be nearly as nervous as you were with the Giants.
So it's interesting you use that word, because I think I have been nervous for 2 months. Because the nervous for the Cardinal game for all the reasons
you
were that are
you
there.
Started getting nervous April 11th.
It
that
feels
was the
like
date.
It really does feel like it. But even when the Dodgers won the one game, you know, they scored 9 runs. Even the game that they won where they scored 7 runs, you knew it wasn't over yet. You knew that there was more things to get done, and that the Giants were a really good team that were catching a whole bunch of breaks. That it was going to be down to the last pitch, as it turns out. You were saying this is going to be a close game. And I said, yeah, probably, but who knows? It was exactly what you said it was. And the Dodgers, I thought, executed their plan to perfection yesterday. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We're going to take more of your calls on the Dr. Pepper call-in line here in just a couple of minutes. The Dodgers did something yesterday that I wouldn't be surprised if it becomes quasi-normal in elimination-type games.
Had you ever seen this before?
The Brewers did it to the Dodgers a couple of years ago where they used an opener in a playoff game. Okay, it was Wade Miley, I believe, pitched one inning, and then they took him out of the game.
In a what game do you think it was?
I think it was the Dodgers were at home, so it was probably game one or two, okay. So it wasn't an elimination game. But what in a nutshell, when the announcement was made yesterday that Corey Knebel was going to pitch, and we're thinking, well, you know, what are they doing, what are they doing? The more you think about it, and then you saw it in practice last night, what they basically did was the least important, air quotes here, least important outs of the game, the first 6 outs of the game, we're going to use our guys that give us the most concern. And that doesn't mean that there's a lot of concern, but if you're saying to me, do you want Blake Treinen
if you're ranking
or Corey
Knebel?
I want Blake Treinen. Mm-hmm. Do you want Kenley Jansen or Brusdar Graterol? Give me Jansen. So they're saying those guys, our middle relievers, Beckford, Vizia, Knebel, Graterol, they're going to have to pitch. Let's pitch them first. So if, in fact, they do get off to the wrong start, we've got 8 or 9 innings to fix this. Because when we get into the 7th and 8th inning, I need Kenley Jansen out there. I need Max Scherzer out there. I need Corey Knebel out there. I need Blake Treinen out there. That they got the matchups in their favor. Because basically you put the Giants on tilt. You say if you want the matchup in your favor, you got to change your entire lineup. They weren't going to do that. So the Dodgers can give the best matchups that they want early with the pitchers that they want early, as opposed to if you go late, you bring Graterol in the 7th inning, well, he's going to get some left-handed arm and some left-handed bats. They're going to match up with him. They're not going to necessarily do it in the 2nd inning because you don't want to start burning guys. It was a really shrewd move that not only intellectually makes sense, in practical terms, it worked exactly the way they wanted to. And look, what do we know about pro sports, Al? Guys copy each other all the time.
Oh, no, of course. No, if there's a good idea out there, why the hell are you going to recreate something? No, you got a good idea. Awesome. I'm going to use it. Okay, let me push back a little bit. because Knebel did give up a double to Posey. Yeah. Right? Did give up a double to Posey.
And one to Ruff that went about 430 feet that stayed in the yard.
Okay, so the surprise and the shock, it's not that, like, the way you explain it to me, it makes actually a ton of sense. Hey, we're going to have the ball later. The more the game is at stake, the further into the game we go, that baseball is going to be in the guys that we have the most confidence in moving forward. Rather than you got a ton of confidence in Julio, not so much confidence in a couple other guys, then you get more confidence as you get later into the game. The shock was they were using that game five to essentially, I don't know if try this is the right way, and maybe it's okay in a game five because you're also thinking in your head, Scherzer has already told us, I'm good, you can use me. It's not like, you know, when you saw Trinan come in the seventh, right, you're actually kind of saying to yourself, well, this is square one. Like, you're not that much further than you would have been. You're back to square one because Trinan you actually typically see in the eighth inning. You don't see Trinan in the seventh. And then you know that Kenley's going to come in the eighth, but you know you have Scherzer warming up or whatever the case is. I don't think they could do this if Scherzer is not available, correct? Would you agree with that?
I think you do it. I think you manage it a little, but I think you manage it a little different. Maybe you try to get four outs out of Trinan and you try to get, you know, the next five outs out of Jansen.
If Scherzer said he couldn't go,
I think they
still do the exact same thing?
I do. Hmm. I do because you're basically saying instead of Trinan getting three outs, hey, I need you to get four or five. Instead of Jansen getting three outs, I need you to get four or five. You just stretch those guys a little bit longer because you're not only getting those guys out of the way earlier, but you're getting the matchup you want. You're getting your guys in the most favorable matchups for you, or you're putting the Giants on tilt early. And it you can only do it in an elimination game because, for instance, because
you're using every top guy that you have that's available.
In this series against the Braves that's coming up, mm-hmm. Tony Gonsolin's going to need to pitch. Bickford's going to need to pitch. Vezia's going to need to pitch. Knebel, all these guys are going to have to eat some innings. So let's just play this the way we are, where if you're trying to set this thing up with, for instance, if all of a sudden game one last night, you go into game two, and it's like, well, I need Knebel again today. You could do it, but now you're doing things that are just not, you're in and out. It's an elimination game strategy. I like it. The more I thought about it, the more sense it made, and seeing it in practice,
Where I thought it would make more sense is if you didn't trust in your bullpen. You know, you kept telling me, stop saying that the bullpen is great. Stop saying, well, the bullpen was great. I don't know what you want me to tell you. They were fantastic against St. Louis. They were fantastic against the San Francisco Giants. If you're a squad that doesn't have, if you don't have belief in your bullpen, I thought flipping it would make more sense, but their bullpen's been great. The other part of this, too, Julio only went four innings. Mm-hmm. So I think there was also, if they did what they did yesterday, you didn't expect Gratterall to come in the second.
Nope.
And you also didn't expect Julio to only go four.
Mm-hmm.
To see Trinan in the seventh as your fourth pitcher in that game was a little bit of a surprise.
But also the Dodgers did not have somebody other than their best throw a pitch after the second inning. That's really remarkable to think about. That there was nobody that you wouldn't say, you know what, I like this right here. I like Julio. I like Trinan. I like Jansen. I like Scherzer. It wasn't one of those, hey, can we get four outs out of Vezia? Hey, can we get two outs out of Bickford? It was, you know what, let's just roll this.
Do you agree with this or not? If they would have, if Trinan had given up, let's say Trinan had given up a run, just as an example, and the Dodgers lost that game 2-1, I don't think I don't think the bullpen would have, I don't think the decisions that they made yesterday technically won that game. I think today we could sit here and say, wow, that was a great move, but I don't know if it.
I don't think it won in the game, but it put them in an advantageous position.
Especially when Webb was out there, and Webb was already six innings in, and you know what I mean? And you had Julio a lot fresher.
I'm going to need the Yankees to offer that guy $50 million a year. Get him out of here. I don't need that guy to be a part of my life anymore. He's really,
yeah,
really
he's fantastic.
Good. All right, let's try five. Let's go to Ventura and JC. JC, you're on with Travis and Slee. What's up?
How's it going, Travis? So I just want to let you know the reason why we're winning right now is that mustache. You got to keep it on.
No question.
Yeah, buddy.
No question about it.
The Dodgers win it all. You got to keep it on through the football season. The Rams do it. You got to keep it on. Don't even trim it. Just keep it rolling. And basically, by the end of basketball season, Hopefully you're looking like ZZ Top.
Thank you, JC. JC, I like ZZ Top.
It's
I'm
actually
okay with that.
Disney reached out to Travis
She's
this
got
morning.
Legs.
And they put a clause in his contract. You actually cannot. You're contractually obligated now. Will get sued if you.
Let's just be clear. This thing stays on. As long as the Dodgers are playing baseball, thank you, Punch. As long as they're playing, it stays on. Whether the Dodgers are world champions or something other than that, it comes off. I'm not rocking this through the Lakers season. I have a family. I have to live in a community. Okay,
you're selfish. That's what you are. You're acting very selfish right now.
My daughter was home from from school last night.
Yep.
And I hadn't seen her in several weeks. And I come upstairs. She's like, "Oh, hey, Dad." Like, not, "Hey, Dad, good to see you." Big hug. It's like, "Hey, Dad."
Well, you know, sacrifices. Got to make sacrifices.
You definitely have to make some sacrifices. Oh, hey, Sleek, take a guess where I'm going next. Ian in Santa Barbara. Ian, you're next. You're on with Travis.
Nobody
I can hear you, man.
What's up?
Hey there.
Yep.
Hey, you know, on the Roberts topic, you know, he's a great coach. He's great. But, you know, baseball came about. Sometimes it bites you in the butt. You know, but, you know, I just got to think about Leo DeRocher and all the good supports he had over the years. You know, Turner boots a ball, which rarely happens. But, you know, I've had my fingers double-crossed on my back. When Jensen came in the other night. Like, what Jensen are going
to
see?
Ian, I hate to do this to you, but we're having a really hard time hearing you, so we're going to I heard Leo DeRocher, and I heard
Do
Dave
us a
Roberts.
Favor. When you call, put all four windows down and the sunroof and go 88 on the freeway. Go 88.
88, you're trying to activate the flux capacitor and go back in
time?
Could
I say something?
Why 88 miles an hour?
Ian sounded like he was chilling.
Yeah.
Windows were down in Santa Barbara.
Hey,
sun was coming in the car. This guy's like, I'm not putting my windows up.
Feels good.
You guys figure it out.
You know what's so funny? Somebody sent me a tweet this morning. I tweeted out something from Rob Friedman, Pitching Ninja. They had an overlay of two pitches that Blake Treinen threw last night. One is 98 miles an hour that goes it goes in on a right-handed hitter, and the other one is a slider that was 90-something miles an hour that goes away from a right-handed hitter. And about 3 feet in front of the plate, they're in the same spot, and they go in two opposite directions. Mm-hmm. Okay? Think about how different baseball is. We're talking about openers last night, right? And that's just kind of a new thing that we've seen in the last couple of years. This is really the first time we've seen it in a closeout situation. This baseball, even 15 years ago, you're getting a starting pitcher at some point in the game that's thrown 115 pitches, that's out of gas. It was Homie in Newport Beach that sent me this tweet. It's good. And he pointed this out. That this guy is a regular part of Major League Baseball. And every team, maybe not quite as good as Blake Treinen, but everybody has one of these guys that throws 98 miles an hour and the ball goes sideways. Trying to get a hit in Major League Baseball in the late innings, good luck, because you're not getting that third at-bat against the starter. You're not getting a guy who's a washed-up starting pitcher who's just trying to hang on and pitch the seventh inning of playoff. You're getting a guy that's coming out that knows exactly he's going to pitch. Get three outs.
Yep.
He's going to throw as hard as he can for three outs, and the ball's going to move 2 feet in opposite directions. Good luck.
Okay, let's do this. We'll take some more phone calls. By the way, Travis, we've got a couple pretty decent football games coming up this weekend. Raiders at the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Chargers in Baltimore.
Probably the game of the week.
And the Rams in New York taking on the Giants.
Yep.
So we'll mix in a little bit of football as well. Stay right here, Travis and Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's go, Dodgers is right.
Yesterday,
so
after
nice
they won,
Funch,
turn this music up just a little bit. After they won, did you go directly into your car, throw this music on, put the windows down? It's probably 10:30 at night, after you listened, like you were going through post-game show and doing this, my post-game show, and going through this.
It's funny you say that.
But was this music on in the neighborhood? You had a couple neighbors that had to call the cops and say, Travis is out again in the neighborhood.
They had glow-in-the-dark jump ropes. They were swinging them over their head. They were getting fired up. No, we, like I told you, we went to have some pizza and beer and watch the game last night. A buddy of mine drove. We get in the car, and your post-game show was on when we got in the car.
You know what's funny?
So we got a little slee on the way
home. You know what's actually funny? The Dodger game and Laker game pretty much ended at the exact same time. And, of course, people wanted to hear the breakdown of Russell Westbrook's game and how did DeAndre Jordan do and all that stuff. They all wanted to hear that.
The timing is everything.
Yeah, timing is everything. But it is – what time did the Dodger game start? It actually started at 5.
5, a little after 5.
How about that? It was almost a 5-hour game.
A 9-inning 5-hour game. It's playoff baseball. It takes forever.
Wait, there was one game in the playoffs.
Game started at 6. Game started at 6.
No, it started at 5. It was like a 5-10.
No, it started at 6.
You said...
It started a little after 6. I thought it was. It started a little after 6.
Sure?
100% sure.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, no, you are right.
Yeah.
That's right. Wait, did you say yesterday starts at 5,
but then it started at 6? I thought it was 5, but it
was 6. Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So it's a 4-hour game. So
still long.
Real quick little side story, and then we got to take the calls. An executive decision was made. We'll move football a little bit later now. there was one game where the question was, it was Atlanta and Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of their early games, and it was, hey, you're going to do, Lakers pregame show is going to come. Unless the game finishes early, you might have to do an extended pregame show. And it was like a 3-hour window we were given. We're like, oh, it's going to go 4 hours. A lot of these postseason games are long. 2-1, I think, was the final score. Game was done like at 5:02, and it was like 2 hours of Michael and I previewing Lakers and the
preseason.
Kings, Warriors, whatever
that's
it was.
That's the way that the universe is supposed to operate. Let's try Mission Viejo and Brian. Brian, you're on with Travis Lee. What's going on?
Hey, guys, love the show.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
got
sir.
You loud and clear.
Okay. So I just wanted to disagree, Travis, to get your thoughts on this as it relates to Dave Roberts' strategy. Just a few things. First, I think every out is precious in the playoffs. You need 27 outs. It doesn't matter if it's 1 through 3 or the last 3. But I think even more importantly, what the strategy ignores is what if Urias had gone 7 solid and we didn't need to use Gratterall and Knebel. That's what the strategy ignores is when you get big time outings, and Julio Urias is a 20 game winner. Mm-hmm. When you get big time outings from your starting pitching, you don't need to use those middle relievers. And by using them when you might not need to, if you just trust Urias to go out there and give you 7 innings,
you gave less pitches to Julio. You gave less pitches to Julio.
Mm-hmm.
You gave less pitches to Julio. And then the last thing I would just say is, you ignore the routine of the starter. And we know Max Scherzer and Kershaw are classic examples of they are animals on game day. They have a very strict regimen, a routine. And when you mess with that with the starter, you never know what's going to happen. And thankfully, Urias pitched fine yesterday. But interested in your thoughts on that. Love the show, guys.
Yeah, appreciate it, Brian. Thank you. Okay, let's kind of go through these one by one. As far as the routine, you're 100% right. There are very few guys, I think, that you could do something like this with and feel very comfortable that their routine is not going to be affected all that much.
Scherzer starting yesterday. You doing this or
not? Not a chance.
Bueller starting yesterday.
Not
you doing
chance.
This or no?
Not a chance.
Even game 5,
not
same
chance.
Stakes, you're
no,
not doing it.
Because of what Brian just said, but because Julio is so versatile, because he is so adaptive, because he's not that guy that is so dogmatic in his routine prior to pitching, I think you can do this with him. I think that that's part of the flexibility that the Dodgers have, that with Urias, you could do this. With Scherzer and Kershaw, I don't think that you necessarily could. That's part one. Here's the other part, and I hear what you're saying, Brian, about, well, what if he gives you 7 innings and you've basically given away a couple of those innings?
Which is very likely.
Well, it's not. That's the rub. You know the last time somebody threw a complete game in the playoffs?
But I don't think you're asking for a complete game.
I understand, but here's the thing. It's been 5 years. Okay, it doesn't happen anymore. You know what rarely happens in playoff games now? Mm-hmm. Seven-inning performances.
How many innings did Webb give in his two starts?
He gave you seven and two-thirds. And he was good. And he was great.
Okay.
And
I'm How many did Scherzer give in the game
he
that
was great too.
Won nothing?
It doesn't happen nearly as often as you think. I understand that there are some recent examples, but all of the other guys in all these games didn't.
Can I tell you what was the biggest surprise in that? Julio only pitched four.
Yeah, well, and that's the last point that I was going to get to, which is you need to be honest with your players, and your players need to be honest with you. It's, hey, how are you feeling? If he's saying, look, I feel like I got a full tank, great. Maybe it's a little – but if he's saying, you know what, I'm at the end of the season. I've pitched 100 more innings than I ever had in my life. I can give you five great innings. Perfect. Let's go do this. If he says, I feel strong as a bull, I feel like it's opening day – great, then let's go and do that. But there needs to be some honesty both ways. This idea of your starting pitcher is going to pitch into the seventh and eighth inning now, it really doesn't happen anymore. What we just talked about a minute ago, you have guys on your team like Joe Kelly and Blake Treinen that are built to pitch those innings. I'll pitch the seventh, you pitch the eighth, Jansen pitch the ninth. Before it used to be, you're going to have a guy pitch the ninth. Right? And if we can get it, we'll figure it out until then. But now, basically, you're pitching six inning games. If you can get me to the sixth inning, I'm going to hand it over to Kelly, to Treinen, and to Jansen. Boom, we're out of here. And every team has their version of that. So this idea that you're giving away, you're probably not. I get it. There are going to be some examples where but
there's an argument to make that he's making. And let me flip this for a second, because let me play out the two scenarios that played out yesterday. And which one do you think is better for the Dodgers? Do you think it's better for the Dodgers to go Knebel for one inning, mm-hmm. Gratterall for another inning? The first two innings are those two guys. Julio for four innings, and then go to Treinen like they did with Kenley. Let me flip it. If Julio pitched only four innings and now you're going to your bullpen in the fifth inning, it's actually a no-brainer what happened and played out yesterday. Yeah, you want to play out
front.
Like you just said, right?
Yeah, at the front.
I think the biggest surprise to me yesterday was that Julio only went four. And I'm not sitting
this
here telling.
This comes back to the honesty, though.
But it was only four. It wasn't. Yeah. If he pitched five, you'd be like, okay, it's five for Julio. The way yesterday played out, and when you say Dave Roberts made the right buttons, I'm telling you, if Julio pitches the first four innings, and I'm the guy that's saying, why the hell are you putting Knebel in? Throw the ball to Julio. Let Julio go. Mm-hmm. If Julio pitches four innings, and now you're in your bullpen, Giants might be looking a little bit different
in the sense of saying. They're feeling different.
Let's go.
The confidence is there. And I'm going by memory here. These numbers aren't exactly right, so don't quote me on these. Julio had already thrown 100 innings more than the most.
It was more than 100 innings.
Yeah, and that was before the playoffs had even started. So the odds of him saying, hey, listen, I'm at the end of the line. I still can pitch well, but the odds of me giving you seven aren't great. I can give you and these conversations happen. And especially with a guy, and I know Julio just turned 25, as crazy as that is to say out loud, he's been in the big leagues a long time. He and Dave Roberts have a relationship. I would be stunned if they're not honest with each other. That, hey, look, I don't know if I have six innings tonight or seven innings. I might get you five, but let's figure. I wouldn't be surprised if that conversation took place.
That could also be that could be a Julio, or that could be just a internal front office conversation. Mm-hmm. Julio's going to tell us, hey, I could go as long as you need me, but they're also keeping in mind, you know what? We don't need you for six or seven innings. Give us four solid, give us five solid, and we'll take it from there.
Travis Lee's brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. Let's try one more quick one here. Jason in Downey. Jason, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up?
So although you poop Cinderella analogy, the clock struck 12 on the Cinderella San Francisco Giants and gave us enough time to advance to the NLDS. NLCS, I'm sorry. But Trav, you have inspired me, my friend. Now, that is, I don't have a glorious handlebar mustache like you do, but I have myself a nice thick beard that I make.
Good work, Jason.
And I make sure I trim, but.
Excellent.
Good work, Jason. We're cutting in and out there, Jason.
Did we forget to pay our phone bill here? Because nobody's coming through today.
I want to give listeners just a little bit. This is going to be advice. It makes the listening experience fantastic. Just know if you're on hold and we do come to you, windows up, try to be in a position. And, oh, by the way, you don't have to say how you guys doing. Just get straight to your point. And I say that only, Trav. Then we get to more callers. Keep this thing flowing.
All I heard was glorious handlebar mustache. That's all I heard from
and
Chris.
Cinderella.
And Cinderella. Or was it Jason? But it was. Yeah, I don't know if he's seen the movie to the end with Cinderella. Yes, it strikes midnight. And yes, she gets turned back into the pumpkin and the mice and all of those things, but she also gets Prince Charming at the end. That happens too. So let's be careful with Cinderella. Dodgers are like they're the bad guy in most of these movies. They have the most money,
expected
the best
to win.
Players, right?
Big market.
And I'm comfortable with that. I'm okay being the bad guy. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can wear that pretty well. Factor Cap coming up next. If you're on hold, stay there. We're going to get to all of you today. I promise. It is a celebration Friday. Dodgers into the NLCS against the Atlanta Braves. That's all coming up next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You may have enjoyed being in my kitchen. I may feel slightly different about it. We got through it. You invite Chris to your house.
Hey, Chris, guess what, buddy? Never been in there. I've never been there personally, never COVID. Even been invited. So it's great to know that you and Travis have that fantastic relationship. The man I stand right next to every morning.
We'll
nothing.
See. We'll see.
No invite.
Very quickly before we get to Factor Cap.
Yep.
Was it the station that did it? Or whoever photoshopped my mustache onto your face?
Yep.
That's problematic.
Thank Carlo. He did a great job.
Okay. Carlo, our social media guy here at the station, who's fantastic. I don't like that. I don't like seeing our faces basically put into one
merged.
Composite.
Yeah, we merged together. Yeah.
And my mustache is a little too big for your face.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think anything says classy more than me in a polo, clean shaved head, and then your mustache in the middle of it. Let me take a quick peek
here. There you go.
It's not bad, to be honest with you. I think, I don't know if it, and in the background, look at all the bikers in the background.
I didn't notice that, but you're right. That looks like it's
coming out of a saloon.
They do Lakers talk outside of a biker bar.
There you go.
No, that's dive bars. That's where I'm going to end up for all
Cold
the post-game
Springs Tavern
shows.
Up in the hills in Santa Barbara where you can't get in if you don't have a Harley along the way. Let's do a little Factor Cap.
It is a cap.
All right, guys.
What's going on, Emily?
So my first one up, it is not acceptable to FaceTime in public with no headphones on. Alan, is this Factor Cap?
What are people doing? Why are you going down the grocery store having a full-on conversation like you're in the middle of your living room? Which, by the way, even if I'm in my living room, I probably have headphones on. Can we stop doing that in public? I don't also, you're at the airport, you're sitting there, and you're having a full-on conversation. You're complaining about somebody. And, oh, by the way, I'm probably in your camera because of the angle that you have there. Throw some headphones on.
Old man alert coming here. It is a young person thing almost exclusively. It is incredibly rude to do. It is one. Look, if you need to have a phone conversation, that's fine. I get it. Yeah. Occasionally, you need to get on the phone with somebody. Go somewhere where it's just you and the person you're talking to. You don't need to hold your phone out in, at arm's length.
Did you hear what she said?
Your face.
I'm like, what the hell is going on behind me? American Airlines, we get on in an hour. Tell me I'm not going to sit next
awful.
To you.
Just an awful, awful thing to have to observe and
how about the
to.
People that have the phone next to their ear, but it's on speaker?
Yeah, also, same people. Same
I'm like, wait, well, don't put the phone next to your ear. It's on speaker.
I don't need to look at you when we're having a phone conversation. It's fine. The FaceTime element of this is for when
you know
can't go
FaceTimes?
See grandma because she lives on the other side of the country.
Do you know who
That's
FaceTimes?
You
guess who FaceTimes? Think about, you don't have to think very far here. Who was in your kitchen?
Chris is a FaceTime.
Morales FaceTimes.
You're right. Yeah, I'll usually.
But he does it in a private setting. He's not doing it at the mall.
So this comes from also, it was an older gentleman doing this at the Laker game the other day in front of me. So
I need video proof, Emily.
Okay, next time. All right. So Wendy's will guarantee that your fries are crispy and hot or they will replace them. So you are someone who will send food back. Travis is factor cap.
Cap. I think in my entire life, I've sent two things back. Okay, and we all are well aware of how enthusiastic I am about going out to dinner, right? It's a one of the top of the things on my list of things that I enjoy doing, going out to a nice dinner.
Do it twice a night.
I just won't do it because I assume that no matter how politely you ask, you know, I'm really sorry, but this isn't what I ordered. Is there a chance that I can get the thing that I requested? No matter how politely you do it, I just assume that that thing's getting dragged along the floor in the kitchen and put back on the plate. I know it probably doesn't happen very often, but I'd rather just eat whatever it is you brought me, or it's overcooked or undercooked. I'm just going to muscle through it.
There's predicaments. So if Wendy's is promising this, right, I think there's – what's the standard? Am I at a nice restaurant where I'm paying a good amount of money? And
can I give you a scenario?
Yeah.
You're at Morton's. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're spending a lot of money.
Rather go to Mastro's.
Okay, you're at Mastro's. Okay. You're spending a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Your steak comes back, it's a little bit overcooked. Are you asking them to cook you another one?
That part, less than, what if my stuff's room temperature? I need that thing sizzling. You know what I mean? Like, I need it to be hot. That would bother me more. If I'm going and I know I'm going to drop some good money at a restaurant, don't tell me my food is... room temperature, like it's gotta come hot.
This guy thinks he knows what room temperature. Okay, we'll wipe and then send it back.
Clean the windows.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, what did
don't
I
don't tell me that. Now I'm in a
bottom
second
of my
guess.
Shoe.
But
here you go.
I'm with you. It's very rarely happened that I've ever had to do so. But I've also been in predicaments like, bro, the potatoes are cold.
I'm eating them
like
anyway.
It's cold.
I'd rather eat cold potatoes.
That's awesome.
I'd rather eat anyway. Cold potatoes than potatoes with something off the bottom of the shoe.
So it's not that you're upset, but it's a strategic move on your part.
Yeah. No, I'd want my potatoes hot, but it's not worth the risk.
Next up, you prefer a walking commute to a car commute. Alan, is this factor cap?
If you told me right now, like I'm trying to think if there's a car that could take me to the East Garage. No, is it the West Garage that's far? Yeah,
the West Garage is the further one.
For those who don't know, there's a parking lot right under us, there's a parking lot. It takes 1 minute for us to get to our car. Then there's another parking lot that takes five minutes to get there.
Walk, yeah.
If I told you how many times I was like, I don't think I'm an Uber. I'm an Uber there.
Yeah, it's a cap for me. This may fall into the category of oversharing here a little bit.
I don't see you walking to no grocery store with a 24-pack of sparkling water.
No.
I just don't see it happening.
People probably know this about me just by looking at me if you've seen my picture. I'm a sweater. Okay, if I'm physically moving, I'm going to break out into a sweat very, very quickly. If I walk from here to go get a cup of coffee, by the time I get there, my body's getting ready to start sweating.
You had a workout.
I do not want to be the guy that comes into work and just sweat pouring down my face. Nah, I'll take the car, a bicycle, a skateboard, a Segway, whatever you got, I'm not walking.
If I'm intoxicated, I'm okay. I'll walk. I'll walk anywhere. If I'm not, I don't want to walk anywhere.
How far is that? It's like 8.5 miles.
Let's go.
Let's walk it off.
I'm already walking before they even
say. Let's walk it off. It's fine. Count to get my steps in.
All right, up next, the new James Bond installment is up around 245 hours long. So it's a pretty long movie. So 3 hours, 245 is too long for a movie, regardless of how good it is. Alan, is this factor cap?
I'm going to go cap. If it's a good movie, it's a good movie. If it's a good movie, it's a good movie. I don't know what else to say. If you're watching a movie, whether it's an hour and a half or it's 3 hours, if it's good, that's the only thing that matters. I don't think the length does. Can I give you an example?
Sure.
I just started watching. What did I start watching?
Squid Game.
Okay. By the way.
Not Squid Games.
It's singular.
Squid Game.
One game. Singular.
Right. Squid Games. All right. Listen.
That's such a Travis thing to do. I love
that. Streaming. You can watch, people watch a full season. They'll watch 5-6 hours of a show.
Yeah.
If it's good, it's good. So I'm not opposed to a long movie as long as it's good.
It's in, out, let's get this done in 2 hours, 2:15 tops, and let's get back to whatever it is we were doing before with our lives.
Have you done streaming where you watched
Yeah.
I've done a Breaking Bad or one of those.
Of course. I have all of a sudden looked up and said, wait, I just did 4 Breaking Bads in a row. That was 3 hours of my life.
Do you know why you did that?
100%.
Because it was good.
It was good.
If that movie's good, it's going to be the same thing.
Streaming it at my house. I get up, I get something to drink, I get something to eat, I can pause it, I can go to the bathroom, I can take care of myself. I don't need to be locked in a theater for 3 hours.
Do you remember when we had to sell Funches, Godfather, as if it was... just a movie that just came out.
Like some French thing with subtitles that was made in 1920 that is only taught in film school, and that Funch, fine, I'll watch it. It's The Godfather.
That was arguably one of my favorite moments of the show. Try to convince Funches to watch Godfather.
Very quickly, this is important. This is Factor Cap related. Edie in Los Angeles is a restaurant worker and has thoughts on our reluctance to send food back. What's up, Edie?
Hi. I'm a chef in downtown, and I will say most often, it's a nice restaurant, most often when things get sent back, we kind of assume it's our fault in the kitchen. I'm going to say right now, like with COVID and everything, we're super short staffed, so I wouldn't be afraid if it's a nice restaurant and you're paying, you know, like $30, $40 at least per person. You know, if it's not right, it's not right. Send it back, but just understand it may take a little while to get back to the table the right way.
That is great advice. Thank you, Edie. Appreciate it. And look, I'm sure that Edie would never do what I'm suggesting.
Now I feel
she's
bad.
A professional.
Now I feel bad.
And I'm sure that most chefs would do it too, but not all. And I'm worried. I'm playing the low percentages. I'm worried about catching Edie's side of the coin.
She told us which restaurant.
Yeah, call back and let us know, Edie. Let Emily know.
Yeah,
let Emily know what restaurant.
We'll give a quick little shout out there,
no matter
too.
What you serve us, we're going to send it back just to make sure that you're.
I'm eating it now. I'm never sending anything back.
Oh, hey, you think? Hey, Edie, undercooked. Yeah, this one's a little over. How about a third trip? Nah. Thank you for the call, Edie.
Faith in Edie there.
We still got a bunch of Dodger fans that we need to get to. We need to talk about that. Plus, Al, it is a football weekend. We do have the Rams on the road looking to go 5-1. Arguably the game of the weekend is the Chargers and the Ravens, and then the Raiders.
Raiders, Broncos. One of those teams are going to be 4-2 in the AFC West.
And the team that loses is probably dead in the water. Yep. So that's a big game as well. We'll get through all of those. More of your phone calls. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Ducks are 1-0. Nice win against Winnipeg on opening night a couple of nights ago. A 4-goal night for the
Ducks.
Still
haven't picked the team yet.
What do you mean?
Still haven't picked the squad yet.
Pick one. Let's go. Pick the Ducks. You want to go?
I'm half Canadian.
I don't think that's true at all. You should pick the Ducks. You should come with me, and we'll go down to Honda Center, and we'll take in a couple of games.
Winnipeg is where most of my family
Winnipeg
lives.
Got beat by the Ducks opening night. Just throwing that out there. Kings looked good last night, too.
Alberta is where the other half of my family is.
Kings last night, 6 goals. Andre Kopitar, a hat trick in the opening game of the season. Dustin Brown got one as well against the Knights, who are a very good team. I'm excited that we get to talk a little hockey on this show. All right, Travis Lee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline.
Rosa Blue.
Okay.
That's the restaurant. Edie's from? That was the restaurant that she's, which is, by the way, down here in downtown LA. Looks fantastic. I'm on the menu right now.
When you see a guy shout out there to in Rosa a Dodger Blue. Hat and a handlebar mustache come in, I'm your man, Edie. Let's talk. Let's talk food. All right. The best game of the weekend, Al, are the Chargers in Baltimore. Yeah. In Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And it's stop me when you think I'm gone too far. The Chargers and the Rams are in such different places, and I'm not talking about like relevance in the city. That speaks for itself, right? That's a topic that's old. The Rams have a game against the New York Giants on Sunday, where the Rams are 4-1, the Giants are 1-4. It's a little bit of a lopsided matchup, at least on paper. But the Jets beat the Rams
almost
last year,
10 points. I think is the spread.
And
yeah,
and even. If the Rams win, great. If the Rams don't, the Rams' entire season starts when the first playoff game does. That the Rams are not, hey, you're going to win the division. Hey, are you going to win more games than you won last year? Hey, are you this? Are you this? It's, are you going to win the Super Bowl?
You've
or
already
not?
Done all that, so nobody's looking at that. Your expectations coming in, you got to get back to the Super Bowl.
The Rams are one of the favorites to win the Super Bowl, and that's how their season's going to be measured. The Chargers, on the other hand, were not very good last year, despite they had a good quarterback. They got a new coach that's got kind of a cool style.
Yeah.
Goes for it on fourth down. Mm-hmm. He's a thoughtful guy in press conferences. And you've got a legit star at quarterback. That this is a guy that's going to be a good quarterback in this league for another 10 years at least. And they're playing really well. Mm-hmm. And it feels like this they could be on to something. And just the standards of the two teams, they're both 4-1. They're both off to great starts. But it feels like the Charger thing is building, whereas the Rams are, hey, the expectations are already so high because you've been good under Sean McVay that they're just in totally different places, even though they have the exact same record.
So expectation, you know, obviously for the Rams, like you mentioned, is what it is. I don't know if this is a good comp, but I'm going to throw this out there. We'll kind of keep a San Diego tie to this. The Dodgers and the Padres, right? Like there was last season, it's okay, well, the Dodgers, we know what they're supposed to do. They're one of the World Series favorites. You got to go win a World Series. For the Padres, it was different. It was new. They had exciting players. Fernando Tatis, you know, it kind of took on this, the Dodgers are supposed to do this. Do the Padres have a shot at this? Do they have a chance? Can they go up against?
See what happens.
Let's see what happens. This is exciting. It's exciting baseball. This and that. Chargers have kind of took a mantra so far this year. Trav, I'm a hater of this of the Los Angeles Chargers. I'm a hater of the Chargers. I'm watching these games. They are exciting. Now, granted, I might be rooting for the other team, but the Cleveland Browns and the Los Angeles Charger game this past weekend. That's a freaking shootout. You're not going very far on SportsCenter without them saying, hey, throw in that Justin Herbert highlight, throw in the Baker Mayfield, throw in the Browns and the Chargers. They've created some excitement. And this is what they're obviously going to have to do. And then this weekend you got a game coming up against the Baltimore Ravens. It will either build to that excitement or it might take a quick step back. But I think either way, I think they're going to be around. So it's not like this is one of those, well, they've got lucky. You might say the Raiders were lucky to start 3-0. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Chargers – who's the one loss the Chargers have? Do you remember?
The Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys. How are the Cowboys doing?
Really good.
One of the best teams in the NFC. It's been an impressive run.
Listen to what I'm about to say, people. I'm not comparing these things together as equals. I'm saying they're in similar situations. The Dodgers, when they start spring training, it's not, hey, you going to win the West? It's, are you going to win the World Series? Mm-hmm. With LeBron James, who's on the Lakers right now, but LeBron James really for the last 15 years, it's not, are you going to make the playoffs? It's, are you going to win the NBA championship?
Yeah.
That's it. The Rams have not accomplished what the Dodgers and LeBron have accomplished.
But the Dodgers just did it, and those were the expectations
exactly
all those
right.
prior years until they did do it. So you could almost say the Rams are in a spot like the Dodgers were going into last season.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't care what you do in the regular season. Do it in the playoffs.
We already know you're good. That we know you're really good. We know you're better than most of these other teams. And I know you got to win some games to get in, but do you win the Super Bowl? Do you compete at the highest level at those particular games in the season? That's what the Rams and that's a compliment. That's a compliment
that
you've gotten to. Look, we know you're going to win your what did they got 17? We know you're going to win your 11 or 12 or 13 game. We check the box. They're going to the playoffs. What do you do when you get there? That's where that.
It's the only thing you're going to be judged on. Granted,
that close attention.
Granted, Travis never has a shirt on in studio, ever. He never has a shirt on in studio. That's kind of his signature move here in the studio.
I did notice that I'm a lot hairier than Max.
You know what
Scherzer.
I thought
That's
he was going to say?
Really
I thought he was going to say we share the same thing. We both have mustache. Yeah. I thought it was going to be something like
thought
that.
Thought it was it went in a direction that I was
okay, I got
expecting.
A quick question here before you, I know, you might go to another call.
Why are you changing the subject?
I have my reasons. One game, Chargers, Rams, they face each other. Who's a better team?
The Rams. They have more things going on. The question about the quarterbacks.
Why can't we get that on
the
schedule?
Yeah, it will. It rotates, right?
I know, but how cool would it be this season for them to have faced each other?
I want to say they played each other 3 years ago, which means they'll play each other next year. Mm-hmm. Because you play, you know how you go. You have one AFC division, one NFC division.
They do their rotation.
They do their rotation.
How cool would that be?
I think it's next year.
How amazing would that be? You have a Chargers-Rams game at SoFi Stadium, and there's still more Raider jerseys than both sides.
That... I think think the Rams can hold their own. It'd be close, but the Chargers would be the on-deck hitter for sure. All right, more of your Dodger calls when we come back, and let's talk about Cody Bellinger. Let's talk about the hit that he got last night and just
big
what that
moment
means for him this season. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.